Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Hello, Southern California. And welcome to Astrological Metaphysical Radio. I'm mighty glad that you had time in your day to cut a slice out for old Farley, young Farley, younger Farley, youngest. All right. Today's topic is called How the Soul Designs a Natal Chart Prior to Birth, as we talk about what is hypothesized as what goes on in the Akashic Stream and levels beyond Earth after death. And the soul review, the Akashic review, qualification for another lifetime, what possibly goes on as a soul chooses a host mother, host father, host child, and a pretty interesting topic, I would think, today. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about. First of all, Panama. Currently, with the way the planets are set up in space, we are facing an invasion possibility of Panama by the United States. Of course, sometimes in the Astrology Hour, you hear these things first, and of course, I have no CIA or FBI or State Department connections, but I do have Reagan's chart. And after taking a look at Reagan's chart and seeing that he is lit up for making drastic decisions, and there already has been some shooting going on down in Panama, it is very likely and possible that we may see military intervention almost imminent, even more so, and a United States overthrow of the Noriega regime, because things are kind of like in a crisis down there. I've been down in Panama. And when I've been there, actually, it seems like any other state in the Union, Minnesota or Wisconsin, you know, a lot of Latin American people down there because they live there. But Panama definitely is an Americanized nation. So, actually, I don't think a lot of people are too comfortable with the fact the banks have been closed for a month and things are kind of crazy down there. So, we're going to watch the news reports. Of course, I haven't read the news this morning, so I don't know if the United States has already invaded Panama. But I do see a strong potential for a military takeover by the United States government of Panama astrologically from looking at Reagan's chart. So we'll watch the news, the current events along those lines. Let's jump into this topic. I think one of the most enjoyable experiences I can imagine, or I can remember, is what it's like for the soul to vacate the human body and hopefully make that proper immediate choice to go into the light, down the tunnel, into the light, and finally plug into the Akashic stream of consciousness, which I call the review stream, or the karma stream, the qualification stream. Because in this stream of consciousness, what happens is you plug into an aspect of your own soul, of the multidimensional self, that retains all memory of all life in this dimension, all third-dimensional memory. Some people have hypothesized in saying that the consciousness that exists in the Akashic stream is so intense, is so incredible, that it is beyond human capability to understand the sum total memory that we have there. It's difficult enough for some people to memorize lines in a play or in a movie or in a script or to memorize your phone number or social security number or your planets. But when you plug into the Akashic stream of consciousness, life in itself definitely, on the one hand, appears to be a reflection or a flicker, like a candle or a match that is lit and blown out. At the same time that it also seems to be likened to a flicker, it also, this moment, this experience, this vibration, contains the sum total of every thought, every word, every experience, every act, every confrontation, and every relationship encountered in this and any lifetime in which the individual soul had participated in. Now, you might think at one point, imagining this is going to be sort of overwhelming, because here you've just died, right? You've gone into the light, you've overcome the pain of death, pain of life. You've gone into the light, you plug into the Akashic stream. And on the one hand, yes, it may be rather an uncomfortable feeling, depending on what you've just done in this lifetime. There's like an instant review and judgment that takes place by the own God particle of your own soul that immediately chooses whether this lifetime was a beneficial life, a life of growth, a life of evolution, a life of dharma, where the soul would ascend, evolve, and transcend some of the third-dimensional obsessions and pull, or whether this life experience was negative, in that maybe tremendous abuse was laid down by the particular soul. Maybe the Ten Commandments were broken one too often. Maybe there wasn't enough good deeds or reaching out or selfless behavior or humble humility that was dished out by the soul. It's an immediate judgment that occurs by your own self, by your own God self, when you do plug into the Akashic stream. So obviously, after death, you either are very pleased at what you've accomplished, or there's a tremendous uncomfortable feeling as to what has happened. Now, actually, the discomfort that you feel beyond this life is nothing that you could imagine what it would be like in human terms. It's not a physical or an emotional discomfort. It is more like a charge, a positive or a negative charge, where almost, I would think, emotionless, the choice is simply made to come back to Earth, to renew, and to redo some of the things that were left undone in the current life cycle. Or, if the vibration was a positive charge, then the choice is made to evolve beyond the Earth. Actually, some people, in their quest for light and love and God, and in their quest for humility and selflessness and dharmic vibration is received, what they do is they overcome the pull of Earth. And no longer is it necessary to play the game of money or love or lust or power or asset or anything. You sort of feel more one with God. You know there is something beyond Earth. You are prepared for it. You finally reach a level where you are qualified to go to that next existence, which we all hypothesize about. I personally believe that once you overcome the growth on Earth, my personal opinion is that you incarnate in a different way, on another planetary experience, where birth is not like a birth here on Earth. There is no pain connected with birth on this other planet. And actually, this planet is a planet of selfless behavior, universal love, and oneness of God consciousness and philosophy. But obviously, you can't go to this planet or this area of space or this dimension unless you qualify for that area. And obviously, if you are on this planet and you make a mistake, you can also have a setback and be thrown back into the Earth plane existence. So there's no room for people on the higher level, a higher plane, or that higher planet, unless they qualify to get there. And obviously, you can't leave the Earth cycle of reincarnation until you have certainly qualified. So the judgment that goes on with your soul is very, very simple. It's a simple judgment. It's a basic judgment. It's not something you sit there and think, well, am I qualified to go on the next planet, or should I go back to Earth? Because obviously, what you plug into on a day-to-day basis as a human being is you actually plug into those things that hold you here on Earth, right? You wake up in the morning, you look at yourself, there's your ego, there's your body, isn't that beautiful? You just love that, right? Then you go ahead and call your girlfriend, call your boyfriend, you love them too. Go to the bank, see how your bank is, check your career out, and you just look over all these things that you love in this game called Earth, all these obsessions that are so important. You don't have obsessions and materialism on the other planet. See, the other planet is almost comic book as far as a superstar environment where people fly and their mind is powerful, they manifest things. It's like a magnificent creative lab on that other planet. So materialism is like nothing, because everything is spiritual. And what you manifest is always spirit essence. So you can dissipate things or you can create things. And you can dissipate energy or create energy. But you never ever get obsessed with any one thing, because you are one with everything. And you know that. But here on Earth, in this dimension, we have all this limitation, all this separation, all this uniqueness. And the vehicle that has been constructed for souls that have chosen to leave the God source to eventually crawl their way back or fly their way back to the oneness which they had lost, and therefore overcome some of this obsession and limitation that they have since developed. So we take a look at people like Howard Hughes or people like John Paul Getty or some of the Rockefellers that have created these major empires like Napoleon and Henry VIII. You know, these are people that really get intensely involved in this game called Earth. See all my toys? I like that bumper sticker. She who dies with the most toys wins. I don't think you win. I think what you do is you win a ticket back to Earth is what you do. Well, anyway, when you get done with this review or this qualification that goes on in the Akashic stream and the choice is made whether to go back to Earth or go to a higher planet or a higher level of vibration, then what happens is you come to grips with certain areas that must be learned. And that's where the solar system comes into play. See, the solar system and Earth, this planetary system that we live on, in retrospect, the rest of the galaxy is set up in a certain particular vibration, where the planets and the orbits of the planets and the locations of the planets in space actually will vibrate life on Earth as we know it. So in order to play the Earth game in the third dimension, you have to be born on this planet. And in order to have a certain karmic vibration affecting the body that the soul inhabits, then you have to have a certain planetary setup before birth. Now, it's not like the soul needs to sit there and be totally astrological, although some souls are. But souls just know when they can incarnate and when they can't. It's almost like being on a merry-go-round or being outside the merry-go-round and trying to jump on. Well, you can't jump on the merry-go-round when there's a horse there because it's in the way. So you have to wait for a gap. And when that gap opens, then you jump on. Well, that's just the way life on Earth is. See, we as individual metaphysical creatures trying to figure out this method of life, we have the time and the analytical behavior to study the universe and the planetary locations to try to understand this normal, natural, instinctive vibration that the soul has, knowing when it should incarnate. You know, some souls even know that they may try to incarnate to a host mother who may choose an abortion, or whose body may not be suitable for pregnancy, so a miscarriage might follow. So that soul would intentionally occupy the fetus in order to feel that death experience, to sort of feel the pain and lessen some of the karmic pain for an ensuing lifetime that might follow. Trying to figure out abortion and miscarriage, I'm not trying to say that's a bottom line answer, but I'm saying that's a hypothetical vibe that I feel. But in the meantime, you finally get to a point where the soul has a gap where it can qualify to get a particular chart or a particular planetary setup that will charge the body that it will inhabit for the life cycle, that will help it manifest or lead it into areas of life and interaction with relationships and people, lessons concerning power and money, residence and health, travel and freedom, career and friends, goals, whatever your lesson may be or your karma may be. Certain areas of focus are charged into that body at birth, and that's why the natal chart is so important, because people that order or send for or discover a natal chart have the opportunity to analyze the location of the planets to understand this gap which the soul chooses to incarnate through in order to have a certain charge to their body that would give them karmic vibration to help them absolve karma to their highest possible good. Now, obviously, even if you do have a certain gap you can incarnate to, obviously you may not be qualified to be born in a certain country, because there's different levels of qualification on Earth too. Obviously, if you're born in Salvador or India or China or in Siberia, it's a lot different than being born in the suburbs of Los Angeles, right, on a warm summer day, and then coming out to a swimming pool in Bel Air as you grow up under your parents or whatever. But so different souls have different qualification factors that are all considered at birth when that gap opens up, and when you decide to jump in, the baby, and then choose this life situation. That's why astrology is important, because astrology as a planetary science, by understanding the location of the planets, which astrologers have been trying to do for thousands of years on this planet, it helps us understand the mission of the soul, the purpose of the soul, the karma of the soul, the charge the body is affected by the moment the breathing and the eye opening begins and the umbilical cord is cut. And that is why we can understand this uniqueness, this illusion of separation that we have chosen, the body has naturally, instinctively chosen, which I feel is not an accident. I feel the chart is a destined thing that we manifest. It's funny, but when we as astrologers analyze charts, we do have a lot of fun in trying to figure out the Aries of it, the Pisces factor, the Virgo factor, the Sag factor, the Capricorn factor, and all that stuff that is so third dimensional. But the multidimensional mind and the intuitive mind and the mind connected to the Akashic stream of consciousness, where all data is held, it's like an instant computer bank, it's very different up there. And, the soul doesn't really deal with or analyze karma like humans do. The soul just makes a choice. You know, the soul knows its vibration. It's like a charge or a battery. And it just makes the choice. It either knows whether it did good or whether it did bad. And it knows what areas it must learn and what areas it must manifest and what areas it doesn't. I don't really think Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio up there. It just knows what the charge. It's like actually the oversoul can actually fit onto the solar system and actually feel the vibe of the planets, just like the planets were like vital organs. So if you can sort of imagine this in your mind, every cell in everyone's body, every single cell in everyone's body has a circuit pattern connected to it from the planets in the solar system, a cosmic circuit pattern. So before birth, I had this little philosophy. See, I believe that in order for any one human being to be born on Earth, because the third dimension, outer space, time, and matter is a total illusion, in order for us to become this materialistic dimension, that's just the fact. In order for us to become a unique, separate illusion of separation being in this dimension, we must become the whole dimension first. And that means first feeling the entire universe and the mega galaxy system, and then reducing your consciousness down to the solar system at the moment of birth, actually becoming the entire solar system, including all the planets, sun, moon, and rising, and then reducing yourself down to that single entity, the baby, at the moment of birth, freezing the solar system as your personal circuit as you enter into the baby's body for its final imprint when the first breath is taken, entering from the eastern horizon at multiple times the speed of light, and hence the importance of the rising sign, or that sign in the eastern horizon at birth. So it's pretty fascinating because I actually have memory prior to birth. Maybe it's because I am such an astrologically inclined soul where I actually remember being the entire third dimension and then reducing my consciousness down to the solar system, preparing for the birth of baby Farley. And then as I came out of the womb and took my first breath, actually feeling that bolt, that instant bolt shock of energy of being reduced from an overpowering oneness of God conscious being down to baby Farley in St. Louis, Missouri, August 11, 1948, coming in through Libra Rising 20, which is where the soul entered because at 11:21 in the morning, it was Libra 20 on the eastern horizon. I hope that helps to explain, especially in an advanced way, to some of you, how astrology works in analyzing how the soul designs a natal chart, which is not difficult for the soul to do. And obviously, there are many gaps for a soul to incarnate. In case a soul does choose to be born, the soul knows that there may be a possible abortion or miscarriage in a particular host it may choose, because the soul is very wise and very evolved and is aware of many destiny factors and biological factors affecting a certain individual family situation it might choose way in advance. So I also believe that a lot of things are set up prior to birth. People you will meet, choices you will make, involvements you will make. It's almost like the oversoul, the part of our multidimensional self that plugs into the Akashic stream. It's like a time machine, which is aware of future possibilities and choices before birth. I'm not saying we don't have any free will choice. I'm saying we do have free will choice. I'm just saying that a lot of things are destined to set up certain choices that we know we'll make in the right direction in order to further evolve our souls. Pretty interesting topic and extremely metaphysical topic, how a soul designs a natal chart. We're ready to go to the phones now, and if you have an opinion on the topic, I welcome it. Otherwise, if you'd like to ask a selfish question, that's cool, because we're all human. And if you have a spiritual question, that's even better. If you ever want to know what they should ask, then maybe some of the questions they should ask would be like, well, what's wrong with my life right now, and what can I do to help improve it? Let's go to Susan on line number one, a Leo with Sag rising. Hello, Sue.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I have no idea where I am today. I'm gone.
Well, my question is, it's a selfish question.
Well, I'm glad you admit that. It's
cool. I've been through a lot lately, and as far as my love life goes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know what I'm doing wrong, because obviously I've been getting involved with people who lie to me and into deceitfulness. You know, they tell me one thing and turn around and do another, you know.
You know, it's funny how we never ever really lose grasp of our oneness. And by looking at life, we can see the reflection of our own soul, of our own self, in all the people around us. Meaning that if you've ever lied in this lifetime or a previous lifetime, then elements of your own self would be returned to you in your current relationships.
Wow.
Have you ever stretched the truth a little?
Well, I'm sort of, but
well,
I haven't hurt anyone deliberately, you know.
Yeah, sometimes Leos, with their pride, are afraid to tell the truth if it daunts or taints their pride, so they stretch it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why sometimes we will manifest other people in our life that we think love us, that will also stretch the truth in a reflection to our own selves. Now, you have Mars in Virgo,
mm-hmm.
and it's conjunct Pluto and trine Saturn, so you are shown quite a frequency of interesting men coming into your life right now.
Oh, great.
But at the same time, whenever you find an imbalance in any relationship,
mm-hmm.
never ever put the other person down or accuse them of being wrong or bad or whatever, mm-hmm. but look at the person as a part of your own God self and a reflection of your immediate soul, and that way maybe you'll be able to handle it better by being a merciful God. Okay?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Stephen on line three, an Aries first-time caller. Yo, Steve?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing, guy?
Oh, great. You got a great show.
Thank you.
My question was, I got two. One real quick, I think. What you clarify for me is, I'm an Aries, and I don't know what my moon is. Needed to do it right now, but I'm just saying, is that the same as a rising sign, or?
No, What it appears is your moon is either late Sag or early Capricorn. Are you really a career-obsessed person?
A little bit.
Okay, a Sag moon typically is a clown, and a Capricorn moon is a funny person, but more off the wall.
I see.
Is that more you?
I think so.
Okay. I know you have Mercury in Taurus, so there's the money mind. You have Venus in Pisces, so there's your love of beautiful things, maybe sensitive people or sensuous women. Mars in Leo is a controlling, dominant part of your nature, the boss. Then you have Jupiter in Aries, which is a part of you that's high energy. Saturn in Aquarius, problems with friends and goals. Uranus and Pluto in Virgo, if you like what you're doing, you will do a good job, and there's your interest in science and technology and maybe fiddling with things. Then Neptune in Scorpio would be your ability to attract a lot of people. It's like a charismatic thing and also a sexual fantasy you might have.
That's great. You touched on one subject that was my next question about the ghoul.
Yeah.
Is that I made a decision a while back, a couple of years ago, to go for a certain thing on my career-wise, and I knew it would be a little bit difficult, but not as difficult as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me anything about that.
Well, you have Saturn in Aquarius, as most all people, everybody has in 1963. So the karma there has to do with direction in life. And sometimes people with Saturn in Aquarius are jacks of all trades, where they choose certain directions, and if the pattern doesn't fit, then they go on to something else. And sometimes you have to be strong enough to admit to yourself that this isn't right, time to try something else. So it's not like you're a quitter, you should give up. But you know when you've run the whole rope out on something and it's out in the water and you can't reach it anymore. Okay, Steve.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Mary now, a Libra, 1949. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
Thank you for calling.
I really enjoyed listening to you last couple of weeks. I just found your show, and you're very articulate. I really enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Leos need a little praise once in a while. I hope you get your rising sign next time so I can understand your chart better.
Right.
So what's your question?
Well, it's a selfish question, unfortunately, but it's about men. I have men in my life, but no one that I'm sexually attracted to, and it's been 3 or 4 years since I've had a relationship, and it's getting tough.
Yeah, well, Mars and Leo women, sometimes it takes them a few years to get started. What happens is they're like children, and they're so enthusiastic that when they find a relationship that seems good, they go overboard with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fall so deeply and so invested in love with one particular person that in case it doesn't work, and many times with Mars and Leo women, it doesn't.
Well, I'm a Libra, not a Leo.
I know, but see, you have the planet Mars in Leo. And Mars in a woman's chart, if she's heterosexual, you're not gay, are you?
No.
Okay. Mars rules the men factor.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at men or relationships in a person's chart, we don't look at your sun sign. We don't even care what your sun sign is. We look at Mars. So I can figure out why or what goes on with men by looking at that Mars in Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm real surprised that you haven't had any action the last year.
I haven't acted, but it's with people that are available.
Yeah, well, that might be part of it, but sometimes that's where the karma lies. The karma may be with people that are unavailable, but still, you were shown commitment this last 9 months to a year, and you are shown a further opportunity coming up in the next 6 to 9 months. Are you a pretty dominant, controlling, stubborn partner?
I may be dominant, but I'm not controlling and stuff. I'm subtly.
Do you think a dominant woman is something that a man wants? Because most of the men, you want strong men too, right?
Right.
So on the one hand, it's like a contrast because you want a strong man, but on the same hand, you're a dominant woman.
Yeah.
So there could be fighting there, which can get uncomfortable.
But I don't fight. Mine is very subtle. I'm very subtle.
So it's like a manipulation then.
Sorry, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, see, what you have to do is step outside your body and take a look at how you manage relationships and see if there's something you can do, maybe something simple you could alter to improve them in the next time. And remember, like I say, the people you attract are reflections of your own self.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not happy with the people around you, maybe you're really not happy with yourself. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Jillian now, Aquarius with Aries rising. Hi.
Hi, Farley. How are you today?
How are you, sweetie?
I'm fine. Farley, what's wrong with my life and how can I...
You're so cute. Really? Well, I would think basically what's happening in your life, I think what you're being affected by is a need to be spiritual. And you're probably confused because you still have some desires and some obsessions. So on the one hand, you're torn between I want, I want, I want. And on the other hand, you're getting things you need and you're being asked to be more spiritual now. At the same time, it's hard because you're being teased, I think, by this dimension.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's because
right on the nose.
Yeah, you have Mars in Capricorn at 4 degrees,
uh-huh.
And Saturn and Uranus have been sitting on it. Neptune just passed it, and that's what's going on. You just finished your Saturn return, so you're kind of like walking the fence.
So do you think I'll get off the fence anytime soon?
Well, I think, I always think that being spiritual and reminding yourself that you are a God entity and that you are above all of this,
uh-huh.
Is an important thing to remember because I think that when we get hooked into anything particular and obsessed in anything, it tends to have a hold on us.
Yeah.
So constantly reminding yourself of your spirit nature and certain spiritual priorities is sort of protection.
So more meditation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Jill.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Bob.
Bye, hon. Let's go to Loopy now on line number 1. double Aquarius. Hi, Loopy. Loopy, are you there?
No, this is Deborah.
Oh, hold on, Deb. I'll be right with you. Loopy, did I tease you?
Yes, you did.
Gotcha.
Nice to talk to you again.
All right.
Well, in the past couple of years, I've been making some really big decisions in my life. I think it has to do with lots of changes. And in the next 6 months or so, or 3 months rather, I'm planning on what I would like to do is make a job change. And that's also a big factor. But you were quoting, you were saying something about Reagan's planetary aspects, that they're not...
Okay, now we're going from a job change in your chart to Reagan's planetary chart, right?
Well, I thought maybe it has to do something with significant changes.
Yeah.
As far as the planetary... But, I understand that he has different planetary aspects than I do. But the job change, I'm not really sure whether I should go with it or not. And also, I'm
surprised that job change didn't happen like this week.
Really? Because it's been there, really intense for the past few days.
Well, you're shown a change of jobs this week.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. If you don't, things are probably hairy at the old place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe, it's like... Sometimes it's time to close a chapter in your life and begin a new one,
Yeah,
so sometimes you got to think about that.
Yeah. So there is change in as far as that's concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you make a choice today, it would be very positive for you, too.
Oh, great.
Okay?
Thanks a lot, Farley.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Melody, who has a comment. Hi, Mel.
Hi, Farley.
That didn't take long, did it?
No, really quick.
Okay.
I wanted to tell you said the other day that when people have Jupiter... trying Neptune, that they're a little psychic.
Yeah, just like Avery Taurus, yes.
Well, I have that, and I wanted to tell you what I felt about you, if that's okay.
Is it bad?
No, it's good. I saw you on TV the other night, and I felt really good about you doing TV, and you'll probably do a lot more. And the other thing that I felt about, I'm nervous because I've never done this before, is that, how you do your radio? I think that'll be more nationwide.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, and it'll be based... wherever you have your computer, so you won't be doing the traveling that way.
Huh.
So I just felt really strong in those directions for you, so I wanted to tell you.
Do you see a new boat in my life? let's be a little selfish here. How about a big... What?
It feels good.
How about a big yacht? No, I'm just kidding.
Why not?
Well, that's interesting. What about these two little baby birds that were just born? Are they going to be okay?
They feel like they'll be okay.
They're so cute. I got Aries canaries.
They're really cute.
I've got Aries canaries. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
Is the third egg going to hatch? I've been waiting for it to hatch.
It doesn't feel like it.
Oh, I don't think it's fertile, yeah. Hey, that's cool, Melanie. If you ever have any more psychic advice, call me up. I love it.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck. I feel really good about you. I think you're...
Boy, that was real...
...that I've ever heard.
Melody, that was the Dharma. All these people always call me up and pull things from me, and you gave me something, so you are blessed.
Well, thanks. You take care. You're blessed, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, that was far out. Yo, that was it. I like that. Okay, let's continue with more happy callers. Vicky on line 8. Hi, Vicky.
Hi.
And you're the Leo, yes?
Well, I'm a Cancer, 28 degrees.
Okay, Taurus rising, thank you.
Moon, 27 Libra.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a general scan from you.
Okay. How's your life going?
Oh, pretty bad.
Oh, that's not an affirmation. Say, my life is wonderful, Farley. Like that. And then, it's like one of these.
I wish I could say that.
Yeah, well, you should practice. Practice saying my life is wonderful and then clear your throat afterwards, which is like the major footnote,
I try with all my affirmations and everything, and it seems like I'm getting in my own way or something.
Okay, tell me, what things are you obsessed with? What things do you feel you can't live without? Come on.
I noticed I wanted to get out of my relationship.
Oh, you're suffering there?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's keeping you from doing that?
I've been obsessed with other men.
Aha. Okay, well. There, you just answered your question as to why you're in pain right there. You are having a heavy transit. Not only are you starting the midlife crisis transit, but you have Venus real early Cancer or late Gemini, and Saturn and Uranus have been opposed your Venus,
Venus is 29 Gemini.
Yeah, and Saturn and Uranus are retrograde. They're going to go oppose that Venus. That's playing havoc with your emotions and with your tender side.
Totally.
And you definitely need freedom. You're being asked to free yourself.
You're kidding.
Yeah, you're definitely like a slave right now. Okay? There's your answer.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Daryl now on line 6, who is Sag?
Sagittarius.
Okay, Libra rising. Hi.
Hi. I hope I've got that right. Is that the ascendant? would be the Libra?
Yes, the ascendant is the rising. It sounds like it, doesn't it? Ascendant, rising, yeah.
Okay, I'm a new member, so I'm still poring over this chart here.
Oh, good, good. You'll pick it up. Just stay with it, kid.
Yeah. So I'd like a general scan, please.
Well, you are a workaholic-type woman here. You have Mars in Virgo, so you do a real good job, especially if you like what you're doing. And overall, I think you've been through probably a lot of changes here this last 6 months. You might have spent a whole lot of money, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Could be a little bit hurting in that area.
That's true.
So maybe you might need to try and figure out a way to manifest some more stuff. And you are shown heightened creativity this month as far as thought processes, organizations, planning. I think emotionally you'll feel much better as the year goes on. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Deb now, a Sag with Taurus rising. Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you, Farley?
Fine, thanks for calling.
I loved your topic.
All right.
It was excellent delivery of it, too. It seems like you're really sharp today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you always are, Farley. Don't take that wrong. But today was right on.
My life is fine.
That's right. Clear your throat.
Yeah.
No, but in relation to the topic, I thought it was an excellent time to bring up the question that I wanted to ask several times before, but I thought, no, not now. And that is, one time I heard you talking to some guy about the eighth house being more or less the house of death. And in relation to, like, you know, being born and being aborted and that kind of thing, you know, I mean, your soul decides that, and, you know, that's what it is. It doesn't necessarily have a lot of negative aspects to it. Your soul knows what it's doing.
Well, I firmly believe that when abortion or miscarriage occurs, that there's a soul involved because it's a life and death occurrence. So even if the fetus is 4 or 5 weeks old, there's a karma going on there that some soul has to absolve with the person having the abortion.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, to make it more selfish for me, I was just wondering if you could interpret, in the eighth house, I have a lot of planets. I've got Venus, Saturn, the Sun, and Mercury, all in the eighth house, and I was wondering if you could interpret that for me.
What sign is it in?
Well, on the chart, it says, like, you know, 29 Sag, 27 Sag.
Oh, Sag.
But it's in the house, according to how I figured it out one time. I might be wrong, but it's in the Scorpio house.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, there are a lot of lessons concerning letting go and transforming. Like, Scorpio is an intense, extreme vibration, which says all the way or not at all. And with Saturn in that eighth house, sometimes you'd be in the middle of the road when a vital decision needs to be made, whether you should go all the way or not at all. And issues concerning sex or money, inheritances, other people's money, major choices that need to be made in your life, processing people that are wrong for you, processing situations that are wrong for you, and dealing with life and death or loss of life and death or friends or relatives, are actually confronting your own life and death,
mm-hmm.
are all areas of karma involved with people who have heavy stelliums in the eighth house. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, Deb.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, before we continue with more Astrology Hour, I want you to know that there is an earthquake watch all during this weekend, but I'm not leaving town. But with Mars square Jupiter, I decided just to hang tight and observe. You know, when I play tape shows, sometimes we have quakes. So if it happens, I told you so. But anyway, okay, let's go to Linda on line 3, Libra Gemini Rising. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Farley. How are you?
Excellent.
It was great seeing you on TV.
Thank you.
Yeah, I loved it.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm thinking possibly of selling my house, and my chart is saying to be a little bit prudent in financial matters, and I was wondering if you would think that that would say no.
Yeah, I kind of agree with your chart, but selling your house isn't prudent. In fact, what you're doing is you're getting more money, so you're being more prudent in actually selling it. Problem is that real estate is constantly going up, and I don't expect it to stop even beyond the year 2000.
Uh-huh.
So remember that whenever you do sell a house, which is a darn good investment anywhere in L.A., if anything, you're probably losing money. Consider the person that sold their house 3 years ago, even 2 years ago, and how much more they would have made if they would have been patient.
Uh-huh.
Some people end up leasing or renting their houses out, and that way they make more money a year or two later down the line.
Okay.
Good luck, hon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I've got to go now. See you real soon, weekdays on KFOX 93.5 FM at 12 noon. Goodbye.